reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namvatasthana Huda Anishvara Samarchiko Yasya Grihita Panibi Vivantiya Chak Yadaram Ritam Muhur Rajastriya Samamur Yadastaya. O friends, just think of his wives whose hands he has accepted. How they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices, and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish now the nectar of his lips by kissing. The damsels of Vrajabhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapatantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vata Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now Krishna is leaving Hastinapur, and we're feeling, there's some feelings of separation as he's leaving by the ladies of Hastinapur. And separation is a deep form of love. It's just like on the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. If there's not tears born of separation, then what kind of love is there? If there's no feelings of separation, I should say. So separation is a very deep symptom of love. It's a deep form of love. And when there is love in the heart, excuse me, when there's love in the heart, then there's actions that follow love. That's called anubhav. Perfected love is called rasa. Rasa is love at its height, when it's churning with various bhavas or emotions. One of the emotions is that there is a, as a result of love, there's actions of love that enhance the love, and it is an emotion in itself. But when you pay obeisances to a great soul, it's not just a physical action, it's an emotional one too. It increases the feelings of love. So when we act on love, our love increases. And of course, one of the main ways in which we act on love is to express love. And it's probably the main action of love is kirtana, the expression of love. And it can come in many forms. And here it's coming in the form of prayers, which is kirtan, but it's also a separate item of devotion also. But it's a very, very powerful thing for the person expressing it and the person hearing it. Just one second, I'm kind of losing my voice. I'm going to see if I can find some throat lozenges. So, let me just... work. So, one of the, it's the expression of love. And it's very, very powerful because what the expression of love is, it's the emotion of love transformed into sound. And if you have faith and open your heart, which is what faith is, to that sound, the person's love, who's expressed his love, enters through your ears into your heart. And that's probably the main way in which we advance in devotional service. That's why Sadhu Sangha is recommended, the Association of Advanced Devotees. Because their talks carry their convictions. In one purport of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada described it as the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Kind of a beautiful analogy. The saffron is the speech of pure devotees. So this is really our main process. Just the hearing and especially when it's descriptions of Krishna and his name, form, qualities, and activities. Because spiritual life means transcending the ego. And transcending the ego means the desire to get out of the center. The desire to be Ishvara, the one point in which everything is connected. That's what God means. God is the one point, like the center of the circle, is the one point which everything is connected to. And in ego, we have the conception that we are the center and everything's around our head and everything is connected to us. To move out of the center, that's the task of spiritual life. But love is the only force that creates that desire. Because love means you want to put someone else in the center. Service, which is a form of love, means you want to put someone else in the center. So, anyway, this hearing and these prayers are very, very important. It's very, very personal because they're in response to that beautiful vision of Krishna. We can't imagine what it actually means to see God. We have sensual stimulation that turns us on in various ways. usually for exploitation. But there's a sensual stimulation in relationship to God that turns out, which is the most astounding, unbelievable experience which inspires our love. In fact, in the Madhurya Kandambini, it's described when a perfected soul goes to the spiritual world. When the perfected soul goes to the spiritual world, he sees Krishna, and then he wants all his senses to become eyes, to drink the supreme vision. People like to see beautiful things. There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna. And how do all the senses become, how do you see through all the senses? Well, I give you an example. You say Prabhupada. You may have heard it, but they see his form. So that way, if I say pizza, so that's through the sound, you may taste it. And you may see, like I met Agni Dave in the market. We have some friendship. He's such a sweet person, so advanced, so unassuming. But when you meet him, I may be describing, you may hear him sing. So the soul, when he comes to the spiritual world, he sees God. He sees God through all his senses and he faints. Then God, out of love, wakes up the devotee and calls his name, please wake up. And then you hear God through all the senses and then you faint. And then you may experience God's embrace, and all your senses feel God. And then, when you faint, then you wake up, and through all the senses, you see, hear, feel, taste, and smell God. That's called Audharya, the ultimate magnanimity. The ultimate magnanimity. So they're seeing God, and it's an intense experience. We're reading the story of the wives of the Brahmins, and when they finally see God, they drink him through the apertures of the eyes. And once you've got like a yogi who comes in contact with the inner consciousness and gives up the false ego, that construction of the center. Anyway, so they're praying in different ways. They'll explain the glories of Krishna. So now they're thinking of a fortune of Krishna's wives and how fortunate they are, which is a glorification of Krishna. Because why are they fortunate? Because who do they have as their husband? Purport. Religious rites prescribed in the scriptures are meant to purify the mundane qualities of the conditioned soul, to to enable them to gradually be promoted to the stage of rendering transcendental service unto the Supreme Lord. Religious rites, dharma, it all has a purpose. Krishna says of all the Vedas I am to be known. The purpose of all the Vedas is to know God, and that's what dharma is. What dharma is the science of ascertaining, it's the science of making the right choice in any circumstance. And the right choice is that choice, whether it's attachment or detachment, which brings you closer to God. That's what dharma is. The science of the right action according to the circumstance which brings you closer to God. And that's what it's saying here. That religious rites, because they're thinking the wives are very, very fortunate. But why are they fortunate? How have they been fortunate? Well, they executed religious rites and dance and vows. And otherwise, how is it possible to get the direct contact with Krishna? So that's our conception, that everything that one does and every religious thing that's prescribed is meant to bring a person closer to God, wherever his situation is on the scale of human evolution. The beautiful prayer by the Nagapatnis, the wives of the Kaliya serpent, when they saw the feet of Kaliya, the feet of Krishna, and the Krishna is ready to kill their husband by dancing on his hooves, and they're all beaten down, the husbands. The Kaliya serpent, excuse me, they're all beaten down. He's beaten down, and Krishna looks like he's ready to kill him, and the wives want to spare him, and they say the prayer. How did you get the lotus feet of Krishna on your head? They said, Krishna, he can't be that bad. If he has the lotus feet, his lotus feet on your head, he can't be that bad. He must have performed the dharma of showing compassion to other living entities, which is also very significant. How do you attain Krishna? By the dharma of showing compassion to other living entities. And of course, how do we show compassion? Jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Nadiya go to me nityana the mahajan patiyachinam hata jivera karan. Anyway, jiva doi, Krishna nam sarva, the essence of all religion, jiva doi, Krishna nam, is to show compassion to the show compassion to the living entities by giving the holy name. But anyway, the point here made by Prabhupada is that in this particular verse, they're praying that they had Krishna, had they get him. They must have undergone so many things. And the result of all these things, the intended result of all these things, is Krishna. And if it's not Krishna, it's useless. Dhammasunushita Pumsa Vidik Sena Katasya Napariye Diti Ritim Shama Evahi Kevala. Even if you do Dharma, so called Dharma, Sunushita, perfectly, Dhammasunushita Vidik Sena Napariye Diti Ritim Shama Evahi Kevala. If it doesn't lead to devotion, And what is devotion? It is rati for Krishna's katha. That's the symptom of devotion, when you really like to hear about the object of your love. That's the test of your devotion. And if you don't come to that point, then shrama evahi kevalam, it's useless. If one has one name on his tongue, one pure name on his tongue, how wonderful it is. Even if he's a dog eater, how glorious. It means he's already bathed in all the holy rivers. He's already studied all the sacred texts. So that is our philosophy. And then, how fortunate are we to have come to Krishna consciousness? How fortunate that we have come to Krishna consciousness. Of course, Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion says no one can come to Krishna without any previous connection with him. But even if no connection, by the mercy of the spiritual master. Anyway, by Prabhupada's mercy, somehow or other, we shouldn't blow it. We've come to the culmination of human life. Somehow or other, we've got the association of a pure devotee. Somehow or other, we've got the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of devotion in our hearts. And we should not misuse it. Otherwise, you become Kripana. There's Brahmana and there's Kripana. Brahmana means broad-minded. Broad-minded person means that when he does something, he sees it in terms of its overall effect. And Kripana means his mind is very narrow. He only sees it in terms of his immediate benefit. Like a child who has a bad stomach and insists on eating a big feast because his benefit is limited to the immediate. He doesn't have a broad vision. So we should have a broad vision. Not that we just do things for now, and not that we just do things even for our life. We do things for our soul beyond this life. Attainment of this stage of pure devotional service is the highest perfection, and this stage is called Sarup, or the factual identity of the living entity. Liberation means renovation of the stage of Sarup. So it's one of the subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's described in the second canto, I believe, the beginning of the tenth chapter. How the Bhagavatam's expanded into 10 subject matters. And the 9th is Mukti. The 10th is Mukti. The 8th is Mukti. Mukti Hidva Yata Rupam. You give up the false conception of who you are. Surupena Vibhasti. And you become situated in the real conception. And the real conception is a real identity. Is that we are eternal servants of Krishna, and that we love Krishna, and loving Krishna means we have a relationship with Krishna, and that's who we really are. That is our swarup. That is our real identity. And all other identities are temporary. In the perfect stage of swarup, the living entity is established in 5 phases of loving service, One of them is which the stage of Madhurya Rasa, or the order of conjugal love. The Lord is always perfect in himself, unless he has no hankering to himself. He, however, becomes a master, a friend, a son, or a husband to fill the intense love of the devotee concerned. He has no, he's full of himself, but when you desire to serve the Lord, he has needs. And those needs inspire us in service, and those needs allow God to experience love in rasa. Just like if someone really has devotion for God and he worships the deity, and then in the winter he doesn't heat the water, God will actually get sick. If you forget to feed him, God will be hungry. And the supremacy of God is that he's controlled by love. If one is not controlled by love, impelled to reciprocate by love, then he is not a highly advanced personality. A highly advanced personality loves, and love means controlled by love. You're impelled to serve someone out of love, out of their love. And if you give yourself to someone and they have the power not to be affected and in fact remain cold, that type of strength is a weakness of personality. God doesn't have a weakness of personality. Sri Krishna Karshaniya, Prema Bhakti, God is controlled by love. He, however, becomes a master, a friend, a son, or a husband to fulfill the intense love of devotees. Herein, two classes of devotees of the Lord are mentioned in the stage of conjugal love. One is Swakya and the other is Parakya. Both of them are in conjugal love, the personality of Godhead, Krishna. So in this verse, the ladies of Hastinapur are glorifying the wives who have the embrace of Krishna, something that the gopis would even hanker after. So he said there's two types of love that's mentioned, Swakya and Parakya. Swakya means to do, kya means to do with your own. And Parakya, Para means the other, to do with another. And we know from our teachings, of course, it's not immoral in the sense on the absolute platform, everything belongs to God more than it belongs to another. So Krishna dancing with the wives of others, they're more his than they are others. But we say that parakya is higher because the risk involved increases the love. And, you know, we're reading today a very interesting thing. When the wives of the Brahmins, they leave their families, their husbands, who are trying to prevent them from going to see Krishna. And it says they're longing one out, even though their husbands forbid them, their longings one out due to prolonged hearing about Krishna. And I forgot the point there. And then we sent back by Krishna. And we sent back by Krishna. The queens at Dwarka with Swakia, So one of the reasons that they were sent back, because they gave good arguments to Krishna. We sacrificed everything to you. We have no other shelter. And Nigama means it's the Vedic principle. You promised in the Vedas that in Yayata Mam Tapadyante comes to Taibhava, as one surrenders unto you, you reward accordingly. You have promised that to us. So don't. But Krishna says, he sends them back. He says, no, you should go back, and he explains everything will be okay. You should go. So he sends them back. And one of the reasons he sends them back is that this will not look good in society. So the question is, well, did Krishna who has a reputation for dealing with sensuous, and these are such high-class Brahmin ladies, they've never even seen the sun. They would go out in palanquins. And in that type of culture, it's so discouraged for the promotion of family and good progeny. The women were very much protected. And this society would not be populated and degraded with Vana Sankara. So Krishna says we send him back. And I say, well, he didn't send the gopis back. And I just thought, this is my own speculation. Even with the gopis, it looks so bad that Jiva Goswami and Gopal Chapu makes the argument that Krishna was actually married to them. And then one of the last verses in the Gopal Champu, I think it's a Gopal Champu, he says, some things I've done because they're true, and some things I've done for others. So people interpret that verse for others, what? Because people, highly moral people in society, Krishna says, people will not be attracted to you going off with the Brahmins' wives. So Krishna, he's concerned. So even with the gopis, Jiva Goswami apparently has to protect the people, the reputation of Krishna, otherwise people will not be attracted to him, which is the whole purpose of Krishna appearing. So with the gopis, even, Maharaj Prickett's inquired, and Krishna gives a whole explanation for the purpose of all the sages and the gyanis that are sitting there and they're hearing about the Ras Lila, and they're just trying to figure out, how is this spiritual? And how can this be God? But somehow or other, with a little philosophical explanation and understanding, and the fact that it's with the cowherd girls, so at least they're in the same category or caste, then barely people can accept that. So my point would be, then what to speak? How would you explain the wives of the Brahmins? And after all, it's the Brahmins that are reading the scriptures and propagating them, and Krishna running off with the wives of the Brahmins, those high class ladies in society. And you have to go back, but not only do you have to go back because of that, but because it would be good to you. If the separation will help you develop the devotion to do as you were doing, chanting and hearing about me, and you'll actually attain me. Not just in a superficial meeting, but in a deep spiritual relationship. The Lord stayed at Vrindavan until the age of 16, and his friendly relations with the neighboring girls were in terms of parakia. These girls, as well as the queens, underwent severe austerities by taking vows bathing and offering sacrifices in the fire of prescribed scriptures. The rites, if they are not an end in themselves, nor a fruit of activities, culture of knowledge, perfection of yoga, perfection of mystic yoga, and mystic powers, ends in themselves. They are all means to attain the highest stage of sarup, to render constitutional transcendental loving service to the Lord. Each and every living entity has its individual position in one of the above-mentioned five different kinds of reciprocating means with the Lord, and in one's pure spiritual form of sarup, relation becomes manifest without mundane affinity. The kissing of the Lord, either by his wives or his young girlfriends, who aspire to have the Lord as their fiancé, is not of any mundane, perceived, perverted quality. Had such things been mundane, a liberated soul like Sukadeva would not have taken the trouble to relish them, nor would Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been inclined to participate in those subjects after renouncing worldly life, the stage is earned after many lives of penance. And this is a common point, that this is not mundane. And the proof is that the greatest spiritualists that were completely detached from the world were engaged in these activities. That's when they describe Sukadeva Goswami, who became attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, even though he had no attraction to the world. By hearing the Bhagavatam, when he left the womb of his mother after 14 years and went to the forest, and his father sent his students to look after them, and they were revising their verses, and they were chanting them, Aho Bhakyam Kutasthanam, oh how wonderful is Krishna. And even though the demon Putana came to kill him, came as a nurse to offer him his breast, which is filled with poison, even though she came to kill him, he achieved the same destination as his mother. So he heard how merciful is Krishna. Tavakatam mitam taptajivanam kalibhyarijitam kalmashapaham shavalamangalam shrimaratitam. So he heard this and he became attracted. Aparamas chimunayo nigranakukipgrave kabantoitakim bhaktim. He's the one who is self-satisfied. He and it's earned after many years of penance. Just like in chanting, if you want to enter into Raganuga Bhakti, where you can meditate on yourself, even a facsimile of yourself, in Krishna's pastimes, and that's a very high stage. Because that's sadhana kram, step by step. That's a high step. This is the sadhana kram in chanting the holy name. It's first the name, and you chant the name, and you chant the name, and you call out to the name. And then God's form will automatically appear in the name after many, many years. And if you do that, and in many, many years, you may understand deeply his qualities, and then finally his lila. That's the highest step. And the lila includes the parikas, the associates, and also who we are. It's not a cheap thing. Okay, I'm going to stop for questions because it's the night here, so I should leave time for questions because I couldn't go too much longer. Anybody like to ask any question? Can anybody say hello and let me know that
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for a lovely class.
Wow, great. We'll can't wait for you and Kalachandri to come and visit me here in Vrindavan. Looking forward to seeing you. I missed you the last few times.
We are so looking forward to it with eagerness.
Okay. I should be here till the 26th. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Lee.
Hey, Lee. Thanks for coming on. Great. Anybody else
like
to say hello? Thank you. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Anybody
hey,
else?
Bo.
Okay, I'm going to head out now. It's a little bit past my bedtime, but we'll end now. Okay. One should call put to be a circle, presumably, but you